the closer the person is to us and the less common the struggle, the easier it is to love. God forbid I find out my wife has 3 months to live. I quit my job, I quit everything, right? What if it's just an acquaintance of yours? And what if the problem's recurring? The more common and further from us, how common is homelessness? And how frequently is the homeless person someone dear to us personally? Never. So I took a few moments a couple of weeks ago and camped outside of a couple of our campuses, and I wanted to see how we were doing, you know, when it's hardest to love. Do you know that your Father in heaven is giving the same graces to the person that's hardest for you to love? He's giving it. He's giving. He doesn't play favors. He's giving the grace to everyone. And if we're going to love like our Father in heaven loves, we don't get to play favorites. And by favorites, I mean so often we love the people where there's some benefit in it for us, right? Okay, fine. I'll call my brother when I get home. I haven't talked to him for 2 years, but I'll call him. Really, will you? Because that's going to work out pretty good for you, right? Now everything's going to be good with your brother. Your mom will get off your back, and your sister's not going to think you're a jerk anymore. And I mean, this is, but see, that's not what I'm talking about. Yes, do that. But not just that. Where it's not your favorite, where there's nothing in it for you, where it's not an upgrade to your portfolio of awesomeness. So how did our church do in the video? I'm going to tell you now. Awesome. I was crying inside that beard. I cannot believe the people in this church. The number of people that prayed with me and brought me food. Just watch and see.
Let's just pray for you real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, so thankful, Lord, that you brought this man to your church on your day, Lord. We are so blessed that he is here. Lord, we pray and pour into this man and just bless him and
bless you.
Well, God, I just pray that you would just meet this man, and Father, that if it would be your will, that you would just have him come into our church, but that you would just know the love of Christ. I don't want you to be out here without knowing him, okay?
Come
in.
You want?
That's all right.
Bye.
How you doing tonight? You doing okay? Would you like to come in and have church with us? And sit with us for church?
Excuse me. Is there anyone like if I'm gonna pray for you or is it?
But I got some water for you. And something more valuable. The Word of God here. And God bless you.
Is there anything I can be praying for you, sir?
Can I pray for you?
Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for my friend here. I just pray that you be with him today. Give him everything he needs. Provide for him. God, you are our provider. You love us. You care for us. And you love this man right here.
Actually, this sermon isn't about feeding the homeless, although that might be a small piece of this sermon. I have to tell you a couple of quick stories. One, Georgia and I won't be here the next 2 weeks. We got married 48 and a half years ago, and we were married about 5 weeks, and then I went overseas for 8 months with the Navy. When I got back, I told her how much I loved being on the ocean. I did. And told her that I would take her for a cruise someday. And because I'm a man of my word, and because she's been saving her pop cans for almost 48 and a half years, we're going to go on a cruise to the Florida, Panama Canal and stuff, and we'll be back. We'll leave Tuesday and be back March 9th. Also, a kind of a funny thing happened on the way to the pulpit this morning. A lot of times I come in early Sunday morning, I think about the sermon and get different bits and pieces, and then I put it together on the PowerPoint on Sunday morning. And this morning I did that, and then I hit the don't save button. So we'll see how much is saved and how much isn't. It will hopefully be okay. Insights and applications from the life of Jesus. And I think I would think about this idea. I'm probably not going to give you a lot of answers today, but I'd like you to think about this idea, circle or arrow. What do I mean, circle or arrow? There was a book written by York and Shelley, Rubel Shelley and John York a few years ago, and they titled that book, The Jesus Proposal. In that book, The Jesus Proposal, they talked about circles and arrows. You know what a circle does? Gives in and out. It gives us parameters. You're inside or outside the circle. You know what an arrow does? We shoot people with arrows. No. That, not that kind of arrow. Well, we don't shoot people with arrows, do we? Gosh. See, I told you, without the PowerPoint, anything can happen. But we shoot arrows at targets. But not that kind of arrow. An arrow points a direction. An arrow shows a direction. Now I'm going to read this, Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, real short passage. And as I read it, think about the circle and arrow idea. Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. That's the title. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. It's the lake of Galilee. He was walking along the shore. A large crowd came to him. And he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Jesus eating with the sinners and tax gatherers, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Upon hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Would you say the Pharisees were circle people or arrow people? Circle people. I mean, if we read the text, it says they saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, and they asked him, "Why are you hanging out with those folks?" Before we get too hard on the Pharisees, I think most of our lives we live as circle people. If we really think about it, you know, I mean, they're ducks and beavers. You know, and some of you beavers are really hardcore. You just can't see the truth. And I don't get it. You know? They're Republicans and Democrats. In the impeachment hearings, I'm not going to go into what I thought of all of that, but in the impeachment hearing, one Republican voted for one article of impeachment. And how did his fellow Republicans respond to that? He's definitely outside the circle. So we have a two-party system. We have freedom of speech and thought in our country, freedom of vote. But you better vote and think the way the people inside my circle vote and think. The church is divided into conservative church and liberal church. And the liberal church is pretty much Democrat because they're really heavy on social, taking care of people, doing that kind of thing, feeding the homeless, a lot of things. And the conservative church is for morality, is for people taking care of themselves, is for truth. You're either inside or outside. I had a person come to me once. Actually, this has happened in every church I've been in, I guess, and say, because I've always been in more conservative churches, can I be a Democrat and still be a part of this church? Those are circles. But I'm not talking about politics today. I'm talking about circles and arrows and Jesus. See, the problem with circles when it comes to Christianity is we often wind up focusing on half the truth, not the whole truth. Because, see, I can find truth in the scripture that defines each group. And we just saw Bibles that talked about taking care of the poor and homeless and downtrodden. You know, but there are also scriptures that we can highlight that I could put up on the screen that talk about morality and various things that are right and things that are wrong. They're all truth. The Pharisees were circle people. And I think it's difficult not to be a circle person. It is for me. I mean, I actually went to an Oregon State football game this year. And I wore a beaver sweatshirt and hat just so I would
not get beat up.
You know, come to find out, I survived. You know, but Ted wouldn't let me keep the stuff. He said he wanted it back. Well, the Pharisees were, you know, I think they were pretty much circle people. They wanted to know why Jesus was hanging with, well, what was the deal with tax gatherers and sinners? Well, you know, I was in the Navy Reserves with a tax auditor. We didn't hang with him very much. But He had some interesting stories to tell. But the idea of Levi was a tax collector, which meant he worked for the Roman government. With the name Levi, probably he was a Jewish man. Well, he was a Jewish man. We know that. And perhaps he was of the tribe of Levi, which means he could have been a priest, but instead he worked for the Roman government. And tax collectors in those days, it was a kind of a bid job. And the Roman government said, you tax this much. And so then they would set up their little booth, and when people would come by with their fish or their cattle or their goods or whatever, they would tax them, and they would tax them whatever rate they could tax them, and then they would give the government what was the government's and pocket the rest. And so they were pretty wealthy guys, and they made it off well. You know how that would go over. So he was kind of a traitor. Levi was considered kind of a traitor by the good Jewish people. Probably his family, probably he was a disgrace to his family. I mean, he was of the priestly line. Yet he chose not to be a priest, not to serve in the temple. He chose to be a turncoat tax collector for the Roman government and rip off his neighbors, his countrymen. I can understand why the Pharisees didn't like him, didn't think Jesus should hang out with him. Tax collectors were so notorious that there is a statue to an honest tax collector. That's how they were viewed. That's how they were viewed. And these sinners, they weren't your average day, run-of-the-mill people who didn't live a perfect life. Probably, number one, the dinner was at Levi's house. Probably they were Levi's friends. Well, who's going to be friends with a tax collector? Not the okay people. No, these were prostitutes, notorious criminals. People who couldn't be trusted. People who didn't fit in. People who weren't in the Pharisees' circle. That's who they were. And the Pharisees didn't think too much of Jesus. Couldn't figure out why Jesus would hang with these unscrupulous, notorious outcasts of people who didn't belong in their culture, the culture of the Pharisees. And so they were incredulous. Why is this guy you're following hanging with these people? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. You think Jesus was an arrow person or a circle person? See, a lot of times, let me explain what an arrow person is a little bit more first. The idea of the arrow person is, in that book, The Jesus Proposal, is that the goal for every person, God's goal for every person, is they move toward Jesus. And every person is an arrow, and every person's life is moving toward or away from Jesus. And the issue isn't how close a person is to Jesus or how far far away they are from Jesus, but the direction their arrow is moving. So for an arrow person, it wouldn't matter if you were a tax collector or a priest. The question is, what direction is the arrow of your life working, you see? And so with that in mind, look at what Jesus did here for a minute. Jesus was out by the lake, large crowd. He walked along. He saw Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. And what did Jesus do for this person who was outside the circle of Jesus' culture? Well, first, Jesus stopped and talked to him. Hey, Mitch, how you doing?
Doing good, Jesus.
Jesus stopped and talked to him. I'm not Jesus, but I'm Dan. I didn't call you Levi. You don't call me Jesus, okay? Role play only goes so far, buddy. But I mean, if you really see me that way, you need new glasses. So, okay, so we got that straightened out. You threw me for a minute there. Jesus stopped and he talked to him. I mean, that in the first place was a no-no, but Jesus didn't care what Levi did for a living at that point. He cared about Levi as a person, an individual of value. And then Jesus said, Levi, come travel with me. Get in my car and let's travel around together, you and me and the other fellas. And women, there were women traveling with them as well. Come travel with me. Now Jesus probably, from his culture, should have viewed the tax collector the same way that the Pharisees did. That was Jesus' upbringing. But he said, you know, I talked to someone this week who had a bad thing happen in their family, and the church they were at told them not to talk about it to anybody, to keep it a secret. That's circle stuff. And we'll get this sermon done faster if I do that. And so then Levi had a party, and the people that came to the party probably were his friends, and they were sinners. It was talked about what type of people they were. They were not the people that would be in the social circle of the Pharisees because of the way they lived their lives. And so Jesus was eating, sitting down, talking to them over a meal, socializing with them. And it says there were a lot of them who were following Jesus. So I think this about Jesus. I was thinking about this. Number one, Jesus reaches a hand out to people and he invites them to come with them. And he doesn't tell them that they have to be inside some type of circle where they measure up to travel with them. Seems like Jesus kind of meets people where they are and then walks with them. He just wants their arrow to start his direction. But they may not have it all to get. These people don't have it all together. They're still tax gatherers and tax collectors and sinners, but they were following Jesus. They were traveling with Jesus. Matthew, the tax collector, became one of the 12 right away. Well, he did leave his tax booth. You know, that is valuable. So I think what Jesus didn't say, when you measure up, you can come on in. Jesus said, here, come along. Come along. Let's see how far we can go. Let's see where we can get. Teachers of the law saw that. They didn't like it. We've talked about that already. When Jesus heard them talking to his disciples and asking the questions, why was he hanging with those people who didn't measure up? This is what Jesus said. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I think that phrase is misunderstood at times. Because some people might say, have said, you know, they would draw a circle and say, the people like the homeless guy, who wasn't really a homeless guy, but the dressed up in that video, we should focus on them. They're the good guys. They're the inner circle. And the outer circle are you people who think you have it together. Or maybe do have it together more than the homeless guy, or have better circumstances, or whatever. You know, I mean, it's not just one group of people that draws circles. Everybody draws circles. Almost. I mean, not every, you know, when I say everybody, that's generalizing. You realize that. But you know, groups, I mean, people have circles of who fits and who doesn't fit. Mike, do bikers have circles? Would I fit? Yeah, oh, yeah, Jim, too. Yeah, well, we know. I rest my case. So yeah. Could I just walk right into a biker circle?
Probably not.
No. Probably not. People have circles. Everybody has circles. It's not just picking on Pharisees. That's who's in this, you know. Jesus said, and so sometimes when this verse, people say, they'll say, well, see, Jesus was chastising the Pharisees and helping those other people. Or Jesus doesn't want to help the Pharisees. Or whatever someone might say. I've heard various talk along those lines. What Jesus said is, I can't help people who think they don't need help. That might be anybody. There are homeless people I've tried to help, or people with addictions that I've tried to help, who don't want help. Who don't want help. You know, and I can't help them. I mean, Jesus said, I can't help the people who are well, in their own minds at least. Well, that's true for Jesus. The religious people who thought they had it together, Jesus said, I can't help you if you don't realize you need help. I came to help people who need help. Everybody needs help. Everybody. We all need help. Levi, if we were looking at Levi, we would say, man, he was rich. He was probably rich. He probably had all the material stuff in the world, but he didn't have very good friends, maybe. He needed a different kind of help than the prostitutes. So everybody, Jesus said, I came to help the people who realize that they need help. That's who I came to help. And at some level, every one of us, in moving toward Jesus, have some healing to take care, to let happen. And as we move toward Jesus, Jesus asks us to step out of our comfort zone, outside of our circle, and go talk to people who we don't know and who we may not know much about. Now, Jesus did say some things, be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. So go to people, but we have to use our own heads, wisdom sometimes. I get all of that. We could go off into could make a series out of this, and I'm not going to, because I'm going to be on a boat. So while you think about this. But See, Jesus didn't see people as outsiders. He saw all people as somebody who needs help, and he could help the people who would say, "Help me, Jesus. I need your help." And then he asks us to do what he did. Now, some of us are better, more able, for whatever reason, to reach other different kinds of people. But I really don't think God's very happy when we draw circles. That doesn't mean we don't discern right from wrong and all of that kind of thing. I get that. Jesus did that. But to write people off, to say they don't fit, to say they aren't, whatever it might be, you know. That's why I say I'm not going to give you a lot of answers. It's a concept. It's a concept that I think is Jesus' concept. There's a saying I read a few years ago when it talked about helping people. And this is what it said. And I won't get it. I've read it several different ways, but I'll say it the best I can. Love, if we're going to help as Christians, if we're going to help the way Jesus helped, love without truth is sentimentality. And how I would picture that is we say, "Oh, you poor baby, stay right there. Let me comfort you. But I almost keep you there." Love without truth is sentimentality. Is it a bad thing to do to help people? No, it's not. Truth without love is tyranny. I've heard several different words for this. Tyranny, meanness. It doesn't help people. They can't live to it. Mitch, you just need to straighten up. Here's right here what you should do. You just need to do it. Yeah, I had to pay for this cruise somehow. So, besides pop cans. So, you know, I mean, we say, the Bible says, I had a friend say to me, I was in a group, and one of my friends in the group, it was a group of ministers, and they were talking, and the minister, somebody came up, a person came up, and the minister said, he knows what he should do. Well, that's true. Most people, you know, most people know what they should do. Almost everybody knows what they should do. One of the guys said, there's always two questions that we should consider if we want to help people. What should a person do? And we were talking about according, what does the Bible say a person should do? What should a person do? And given the circumstances of their background, of their situation, of their all kinds of things, what can they do at the moment? He said we should always consider both of those questions. And then we can get into, well, they could just do it. But you know what? You can't always do it. My dad was a great guy, but he liked food, you know. And when our son was, one of our boys had some drug troubles for a while. And my dad was, I don't know why he just doesn't quit. And I said, Dad, you ever been on a diet? I won't tell you what he's called me. Because it wouldn't be appropriate for this setting. But you know, and they say, well, that could be an excuse. They can't do it. Yeah, they can do it. But maybe at the moment, that's all a person can do. And what Jesus did was come, and he walked with them and helped them a right direction. He didn't say, oh, you poor baby, I love you. We'll just keep you right there. And he didn't say, get up, straighten up, fly right. He said, come along. Let me walk with you. a while. That's Errol Christianity. I think that's, can't you keep your two-year-old or three-year-old, whatever she is, quiet in church? So, so that's kind of the idea that I see in this passage is the difference between the Pharisees and Jesus. The Pharisees always, in our black and white world, we paint them black and Jesus white. They weren't bad guys. They weren't bad guys. They're probably good people, but they viewed the world a certain way, and it wasn't the way Jesus viewed the world. And if I have raised more questions and given you answers today, well, good. Because I don't have all the answers, but I do know how Jesus viewed people, and his goal was to come and meet them where they were and help them from there. And so that's all I have to say about that.